4. Matthew chapter 4. Let's begin in verse 12. It says, "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung.' From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of God, or excuse me, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Now, I told you, if you were with us last week, I told you that I inadvertently skipped those six verses last week and moved right straight to verse 18. And I'd already had my lesson completely prepared before I realized it. So we're going to back up now, and though it won't take us long, we're going to glean a little bit of what we can from these six verses, and then we'll move forward. Verse 12 speaks of John the Baptist. When Jesus heard that he was cast into prison, that whole story of why he was arrested and, of course, his subsequent execution, all of that's going to be covered in Matthew chapter 14, and so we'll get to that eventually. So we're not going to say a lot about it other than just a synopsis of what it's about, as John was arrested for standing up to Herod Antipas and calling him out for his sin. Herod had taken the wife of his half-brother, Philip, and John, being a preacher of truth and a bold and courageous man of God, he called him out on that sin and just said it like it was, a sin and a disgrace. And of course, that's what resulted in his imprisonment and in the whole story leading up to his execution. We'll study about that later when we get to chapter 14. But upon hearing of John's arrest, Jesus, as it says there in verse 12, he leaves Judea and he travels back to Galilee. Now remember, he's coming off 40 days of fasting, and then, of course, the three temptations that were laid before him by Satan. We read about that in the early part of chapter 4. And now he's traveling north from there through Samaria and back to Galilee, where his hometown Nazareth is. Now verse 12 tells us that he had gone to Nazareth at least for a short time. Now, a parallel passage to this text is Luke chapter 4. And Luke chapter 4 tells us that while he was in Nazareth, they rejected his teaching. And if you'll remember, they attempted to take him outside of town and throw him over a hill or what was likely a cliff to his death. He slipped away and he was able to escape from there. And from there he went, and verse 12 tells us this, or rather verse 13, that he ended up going to Capernaum, which is right by the Sea of Galilee. All of this that we're reading about leads up to what we studied last week of him recruiting his first four disciples. If you'll remember, we studied about Peter and James initially being called to leave their nets and their boats and to follow Jesus. And then we came across, Peter and Andrew. And then shortly thereafter, he called John and James, and they too left their fishing and followed him. And we studied that last week, but actually what's going to end up happening, 11 of the 12 disciples are actually from Galilee. The only one that wasn't from Galilee is Judah, and we'll see that later. But while in Galilee, he's going to gather up all 11 of the 12 disciples. And all of this activity that we're reading about here in Galilee was done in fulfillment of a prophecy, which is Isaiah chapter 9. The text that we just read describes that prophecy. It foretold the fact that the Messiah would first reveal himself to the sinful Galileans. Now notice verse 15, the latter part of the verse calls it Galilee of the Gentiles. Galilee was a very mixed population. It was mostly Gentiles, but there were also racially mixed people there, Jewish-Gentile mixes, if you will, unlike the province of Judah, where Jerusalem lies, which was almost exclusively purebred Jewish. And so God choosing to have his son first revealed to a mostly Gentile culture kind of goes against common thought. The Jews, of course, expected their Messiah to come on the scene and be Jewish through and through. They thought he would probably think like they did. He would probably hate the Gentiles because they did. And this is probably what they had in mind. But to the contrary, we know that Jesus not only first reveals himself. First of all, he was born in Galilee, in Nazareth of Galilee. And then he grew up there in Galilee. His ministry begins there in Galilee. And a greater part of his ministry will be conducted in Galilee. As we study through this book, we'll see that. The majority of his time is going to be spent in the province of Galilee. The first miracle that he conducted was in Cana of Galilee. And most of the other miracles were also found there. And in 19 of the 33 parables that Jesus spoke, he did so while he was in Galilee. So we might not think about that. We often just kind of think of Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. But in actuality, Jesus spent more of his time amongst the mixed population of Galilee. That was kind of the backdrop of his life and ministry. And again, that is likely a great reason why the Jews rejected him. Now, there are so many variables that caused them to reject him and really hold him in disdain. But they were pure blood, the Jews of Jerusalem and Judea were. And they didn't even move amongst the half-breeds, so to speak, that for lack of a better term. They disdained the half-breeds. And so when Jesus comes amongst the mixed population and he spends his time there, they developed a disdain for him as well. If you'll remember in John chapter 1, Nathanael asked the question, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And of course that was said with prejudice in mind, that anybody born in Nazareth would be likely either Gentile or mixed blooded. And that would be why he said that. Let's read verse 17. It says, and from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus began his preaching just like John the Baptist had begun his, with the same exact phrase, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, we studied this just a few weeks ago, so we're not going to go completely over it again, other than to say, in a nutshell, that's just simply saying to the people, turn from your sins and turn to the King who has now arrived. Turn to the Messiah that is here. And that was John's message. As he, if you remember, he was a herald. He was a voice in the wilderness. He was preparing the way of the Lord. He was telling people the Savior, the Messiah is here. And then now, of course, Jesus himself, he uses those same words. Now, we're going to fast forward to verse 18, and we'll read quickly those eight verses that we studied last week, and then I'll wind it up with some thoughts on that, okay? Verse 18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father, and followed him. Now, again, we studied that last week. We're not going to look in detail about that. We nailed all that last week. But I would like to say that now they're called to be fishers of men. They have a calling on earth. They have a job to do. Now, Peter and Andrew and James and John and, of course, the other disciples that are to follow, they're going to have a job to do, but they don't know how to do it. They're going to be fishers of men. They're going to be evangelists, okay? Well, they're fresh new Christians. It's going to take 3 years of teaching, 3 years of example, 3 years of patience by the Lord in getting them prepared for this task. And so it's during that 3 years that they're being made fishers of men, just like probably their father taught them to catch real fish. Jesus is going to teach them to win souls and win people to himself. And so I just want to wind up with 3 points here about just some principles that are to be noted about the way Jesus conducted himself in winning people to him, and the example that he would have been setting for the disciples and would be setting for you and I today as we try to win people to Jesus ourselves. So the number one, first thing is Jesus was always available. As the Son of God, he had a pretty busy schedule. Between travel, teaching, healing, praying, doing miracles, and trying to get some rest, there was very little extra time for Jesus. But yet, with all of that being said, he never turned anyone away. He never, when someone came to him with a need, said, "Hey, you'll have to call me later. I'll have to get back with you." Jesus, there's no evidence that he ever did that. He was always available. He was always willing to respond to those that were in need. Of course, much of it was the response by healing them or giving sight to the blind and that sort of thing. But ultimately, it was all to bring spiritual healing and forgive them of their sins. And so we can learn from that example because sometimes we get so busy with our lives, with everything, and we all have things going on, whatever it may be, but we can get so busy that we overlook and we miss opportunities to win people to Christ. We miss opportunities to reach people for the Lord Jesus. We simply sometimes want to allow ourselves to be inconvenienced. And maybe not that it's not intentional, maybe it's not deliberate, it's just simply that we just don't see some moments because we're too busy. And if we're doing that, if we're forfeiting opportunities to accomplish eternal things, we're forfeiting them in order to maintain our temporal things, then we're missing out. That's not a good trade. We have to take time for the those around us who are in need of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in Matthew 6 and 33, he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." He says, put that first, okay? "And all these things shall be added unto you." In a nutshell, what that says to me in a paraphrase is, God's saying, you take care of my business, I'll take care of your business for you. And he does, okay? So we have to slow down sometimes and make ourselves available. And if you'll remember in Mark chapter 5, Jesus was on his way to heal Jairus' daughter, if you'll remember. But while on the way, he was petitioned by a woman that had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. And he stopped, took time, made himself available. In spite of the urgency to get to the daughter of Jairus, he still made himself available to heal her along the way. The second principle we see here that Jesus exhibits or displays for his disciples and ourselves is he didn't show favoritism or discriminate. From the poor to the rich, from the influential to the outcast, Jesus was approachable by all people. He didn't limit himself to those that are perceived to be important by society. He was available to all. The woman caught in adultery that he dealt with at the well didn't get any less attention than Nicodemus, the religious Jew, okay? They both had his attention. And this is something, folks, that I feel like is being lost on the modern church, on the 21st century church, is everybody wants to surround themselves with neat little people. People that are polished and low maintenance and accomplished and well respectable, if you will. We kind of want to surround ourselves with people that can kind of be little trophies that we don't mind putting on display. But that's not at all what Jesus did. He made himself available to all walks of life. He did not discriminate, and we can't do that either. This is the way to win in the heart of Jesus, friends, is yes, to win everybody, but to find ourselves, the Bible says in Romans 12, to condescend to men of low estate. In other words, make ourselves, make it just as important to reach that person that's not polished, that's not a trophy, and make them a trophy of grace, okay? And that's the way he showed us to do it, and we ought to do that. Third and finally, he showed patience and love along the way as he ministered and won people to himself. When the disciples wanted to send all the children away, what did he say? He says, suffer the little children to come. He had patience. He says, hey, I'll deal with them. Don't send them away. And when Zacchaeus was forced to climb a tree, do you remember that story? I preached on it here a while back. You better remember. Okay. Zacchaeus, a little short Zacchaeus, a little publican. Remember, he was a tax man, and he was despised by everybody, and he was so looked down upon by the crowd that they wouldn't let him work his way to the front to see Jesus. He had to climb a tree. But yet, when Jesus saw him, he said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to have supper at your house this evening. And so, you see, he showed love and patience with all people in all situations. In fact, he had his strongest rebukes for those that were of the highly religious crowd. One last thing, when he dealt with the lady at the well, remember he told her, he said, you've been married 5 times, and the man you're with now is not your husband. And you remember that? That tells what kind of person she was, okay? And when I say that, what kind of sinful life she had fallen into, but yet he started telling her about the drinking of living waters. He began to share the gospel with her and the good news of what he had come to do. But remember when the disciples showed back up? Remember, they'd gone to town. And when they showed back up, they were perplexed by the fact that he was spending time with a woman like this, you see. He had the love and the patience, and they were like, You see, we always have to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ to make ourselves available, not discriminate, not show favoritism, and be loving and patient with people, okay? I appreciate you very much. I see movement in the back, unless we want to have all of our good